Blog Talk Radio.
So are you of those who remember the above verses repeated in the chapter called Elkamah four times?
Praise be to Allah.
So see if we can go to the next slide, Linda.
I know we might need a little process here, but...
You might want to step over a little bit because your body is blocking some of the
words.
Okay,
thank
you. I just want to move
this
over.
Oh, thank you very much. That's good. Okay. So I see we have more people who may know the alphabet and all of that. So is there anyone here that does not know the alphabet? But a lot of this I can move on. Okay, you don't know the alphabet? All right, alhamdulillah. So we'll do some basic stuff, and perhaps those of you who are students and teachers could benefit from some of the methodology that I use, inshallah. So the letters below are pronounced Aleph, Ba, Ta, Tha. I always like to do four and then sets of three and then come out even at the end. Aleph, Ba, Ta, Tha, Jim, Ha, Ha, Del, Del, Ra, Zain, Sin, Sheen, Sod, Dod, Ta, Va, Ein, Gain, Tha, Kof, Kaf, Lam, Mim, Noon, Ha, Wow, Ya. And these are the letters that you see there after that. And if you notice, just looking at the letters, you'll see that they come in pairs, like, in triplets. You've got the Ba, the Ta, and the Tha. Same shape, just a matter of a dot difference, right? You got one dot here, two dots for the T, three dots for the three. And the word three begins with TH. So those three should be able to get out of the way right away as far as memorization. One dot on the bottom gives you the Ba. Two dots, Ta. Three dots, that. Then you got Jim, Ha, and Ha. All of them look the same.
Yeah.
Just a matter of dot difference, right?
Yeah.
Jim has a dot below. Ha is hot, no dot. Ha, bone in the back of your throat. But you don't want to make it too raspy when you pronounce just a slight scrape of the throat. El Khalik. So you say like that, like you're scraping the back of the throat. The Arab will see that as being repulsive. So you want to just scrape the back of the throat just a little bit. We had a sister in Detroit, sister, probably would remember her, Sister Linda Salam would remember her. She said, "My name is Mariam Khan, and don't forget to scrape the back of your throat." Khan. Okay. Then we got Dal and Val. They look alike too, just a dot difference, right? Ra and Zane. So the reason why I'm mentioning this is because it's very important for you to get to the point of you have command of the alphabet. If you get the alphabet and you get the sun letters and the moon letters, you are able to read. And there's only two letters in the whole Arabic language that's different from the English language. Then we have the Sin and the Sheen. They look alike too. Cousins or twins. Maybe the three dots you see is the hair. But that's Sin and Sheen, S and S-H. Okay, move it up a little bit if you will. Okay. So we have 15 basic vowel-like markers. That's great. That's great. Down a little bit more. Up. I'm sorry. Up a little bit. Okay. That's good. A, E, I, O, and U in English, right? And sometimes Y. I don't know the English grammar that good on why it's Y sometimes, but that's what I've heard over the years, right? So in Arabic, we have A, E, U. Not U, but A, E, U. So the A sound is symbolized by a slash mark over the top of the letter, as I have it right here. Slash mark over the top of a letter, right away you know it's A. And so all you have to do is identify the English equivalent to that letter. So we know this is the letter B. So the letter B takes a slash mark over the top, gives you the sound B. So move up to the next phrase. So use the sound of A as in apple. That's good. That's good right there. Here we have the letter B, but the slash mark is now on the bottom, right? So that gives you an E sound. So when you see a letter that got a slash mark on the bottom, you know right away it's an E sound. All of the time, it's consistent. It doesn't change, okay? Okay, so move up a little bit. Yields the sound E as in eat or I as in itch. So sometimes the sound instead of being E is I. In the case of, we don't say Bismillahi Rahman Rahim, we say Bismi, and Bismillah begins with a Ba Kasra, right there, right? But we don't say B here, we say B. Okay, let's move on to a little higher. That's good. That's good. Dhamma. Dhamma. Well, let me backtrack a moment. This is something I learned from a professor forcing us into checking it out. We said, what does fasta mean? He says, look it up in the dictionary. So fasta, you hear al-fatiha, right? The opening is al-fatiha, the victory, right? The key, in translation, al-fatiha, right? So fasta means an opening of something. Could be an opening of a door, opening of a window. But since we're dealing with language, it's an opening of the mouth. Is there anyone here that could open, would say bad without opening their mouth? Can you do it? Mouth has to open when you say fatha or bat. The mouth has to open probably when you say the letter or the vowel marking at. So the sound is bat. So we had a handout back in the back there at the desk there. You can get the handouts like this in the back. Okay.
They got them. They got them right there. And the ones that didn't give me the cash.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum.
Yeah, so fatha again is the opening of the mouth.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
The kasra means the breaking of something. Since we're dealing with language, kasra means the breaking or the parting of the lips. See how your lips part? B. Lips parting, right? And then finally we have the dhamma. The dhamma is a rounding of the lips. See how my lips round when I say boo? Boo. See, the science of this is so ordered and structured. So fatha means the opening of the mouth. Kasra means the breaking of the lips or parting of the lips. And dhamma means the rounding of the lips. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so for review, we got ba, b, bu. If I change the letter to T, it would be what? Ta, T, two. If I turn it to a J, ja, G, ju. Consistent. Okay, so let's move on. Okay, now this is just going over what I said already. Fatha is a slash mark above a letter. Use the sound of a as in apple. You can move it up. Kasra is a slash below a letter. Then we have the dhamma, as I mentioned to you. Use the sound of u as in oops. Okay? So again, we got ba, bi, bu. So you have this whole sheet here, and I would strongly recommend that you master the alphabet, and the professor had us write it 10 times if we couldn't remember it. So you can write, if you wrote that 10 times, it should stick, inshallah. Inshallah. Okay, so let's move on a little bit. I didn't mention the long vowels, but I'm trying to go real quick, but you got this sheet and the video, inshallah. Might be poor, but we will be available. So long fatha sound. How do you get an ah that's long? We want to say ah. All we do is add a stick. And most of you know that's the aleph, right? So you want a ba sound long, add the stick. Long stick, long sound. Okay, it's the aleph. So you have the ba with the slash mark over the top, and then you add the stick, as we have it here on the chart there. See it right here? It's clear on your page. Ba. So then you ask the question, how do you make a long E sound, flashing on the long E sound? You add the letter ya to make the long E sound. Now that's kind of not logical, but here we got a slash mark on the B, and to make it a long sound, we add a ya with no marking on it. And I know this is kind of over the head of some of you right now, but understand that the ya is what we call a chump letter or a weak letter. We call it a slave letter. Why? Because when you take the markings off of him, he is being used to give us our long E sound.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But when you put markings on him, he goes back to being what he was, and that is a yeah. So if you put a fatha on a yeah, it would be yeah. You put a kasra on the bottom, it would be ye. You put the dhamma on the top, it would be you. Okay, let's move on. We don't want to go through the diphthongs too much here. But we have the sukun right here. We'll just mention sukun real quick. It means to rest on a letter. So if I have the letter, as I have it ba right there, then I have a T next to it, and notice I got a circle above it. So that means I got to stop on that T. I don't want to say ba ta, ba T, or ba tu. I just want to say back, and I rest. I'm silent.
Yes.
Sukun actually means to rest on a letter. It's beautiful, this word. I'm going to show you something that I think is very beautiful.
Yes.
Sakana is the root. And sakana means to go from a state of agitation and excitement, emotionally out of control, to a state of rest and peace. Prophet Muhammad was in the cave with Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr said, hey, they near us. They're getting ready to come get us. And Allah said he poured down Sakina on the both of them.
Yes.
Allah says that he has made the man and the woman the teskunu, that they may dwell with one another in peace and tranquility, right?
Yes.
So if you follow the logic of what I'm saying, I'm not a very old man, to go from a state of agitation and movement to rest, and you feel good. What is that?
That's Sakina.
Pardon me?
It's Sakina, like you said, right?
That's Sakina. Sex is Sakina, right?
Yeah.
Sex is Sakina.
Yeah.
So Allah is telling you, that's part of what helps bind the relationship. The miskin, the person who was moving and active and everything, and all of a sudden, he can't work anymore. He was active, but now he's resting. So you got to help that type of person. He's not a slouch and just a parasite, you know? In other words, sikkim. It's coming from the same root. What is sikkim?
Yeah.
What is sikkim?
Hey.
A knife.
A knife.
So what did the knife do? Things running around and moving.
Yeah.
And take the knife, and the thing wet, rest, right?
Yeah.
So all that is related to that one word, praise be to Allah. So let's move on here.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the shadda. Shadda means to double the letter. So that's a TH right there, so we got two THs. So notice the pronunciation, we have a two THs with a fatha, so it'll be Basta. Basta. Thumma. Rab. Amma. Okay? Let me mention something about Basta. And you might want to write this down here, pen. 4229 in the Quran. The surah called Shura. 4229. Allah says, and among his signs, he has Basta. He has spread it out. Moving creatures, diabatum, in the heavens above, and the earth beneath, and between the both of them. And he has the power to gather them together whenever he will.
Yes.
I read that for years in English. But when I decided to read it in Arabic, it hit me. I said, oh, Allah is telling me and telling you and telling us that there's moving life
right. All
the way up. In the summer west, the seven heavens, there's moving life. There may be some Jupitonians, some Martians. But he did tell us in that ayah, Da'abatun, there's some moving life. Something that move with his own motor skills.
Oh.
Just for that one word right there, that's a verb. It's in that surah, 4229. Basta. So I read some years after that, Fazlur Rahman in his book called The Quranic Sciences, he mentions this, what I just told you. But I found it for myself. Praise be to Allah. And you can find things for yourself once you can go right to the right side of the Quran. Best set. So, is there any moving life up there?
Yes.
Not life as we know it, but yes, Allah tells us clearly in the ayah. And not only that, he says, and he has the power to cause a jannihim.
Yes,
they're joining.
Yes.
Juma.
Yes.
We're going to have a Juma with these creatures up there. And perhaps it'll come when we are in proper, sure, and mutual consultation here on this earth.
Uh-huh.
In the Surah 42. So Allah knows that from that. So I share that with you. Okay, let's move on. 4229 is the ayah. Okay, so we can go to the next page altogether here. Chronic error, right here. Chronic error is a purely phonetic language. I always like to tell people there's no selling these in Arabia. Can't go over there and say, who was selling these? See the glorious Quran, Ayah 3, 154, and 4829. Those ayahs have all of the Arabic letters in them.
Whoa.
So I ask the question, did Allah, Jibreel, or Muhammad do this? The answer is who?
Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
That's right.
So you might say, well, how do you know that? I was downtown at the Renaissance Center, and they was having a youth conference, and they were selling books. And the brother sold me a book called The Word by Nursi, who's a very famous Turkish person, right? So in the book, he mentions this ayah right here, 3154, as having all of the Arabic letters. I could tell you I found it myself. You'll say, oh, this dude really studies the Quran, right? But no, I wouldn't do that. So I was on the road, and I was telling the brother about this verse. He said, yeah, I know that. He said, there's another one, too. And he told me this one. So because of me trying to share it, I get the second one. And so one day I was in Philadelphia doing a talk, and I was looking to make sure that all the Arabic alphabet was in this ayah. I hadn't checked it, you know. I checked this one, but I hadn't checked that one. I said, I don't want to be telling people something I don't know if it's true or not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going into the Quran, I'm looking at it, and it had them real light, real smooth paper Qurans where you can't hardly see the print,
right.
And sometimes a dot is light and you miss it. So I was searching for about 15 minutes for the cause. And it's only one cough in that ayah. One cough. One cough in that ayah. And I take that to mean the symbol Quran. Cough Quran. One, if that one cough wasn't in that word, Sukihi, which means his own stem, then what I told you would all break down. Okay? That one cough in this particular ayah. And I think that's fascinating. I think it's very beautiful. Okay, let's move on. Related things come in families. Here we have three letters, K, B, and R. So we pronounce that for the novice, Kavara. Literally, he was great. Now, I could have made that a sentence, but that's really a whole sentence.
How you say it again?
Kavara. Whenever you have short, fast times, it's just a real flash, real choppy. Kavara. Kavara.
Okay.
Hit it and move.
Okay.
Kavara. So in the dictionary, most dictionaries are structured on three-letter roots. So when you read the Quran, your purpose is to pull the root out of there so you can go to the dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
As the brother said earlier from Syracuse, we don't have to be fluent to understand the Quran. We have the ability to go to the dictionary and go to lexicons and track the words and all of the ayahs that Allah presents them. We're going to come up with some understanding.
Not what part?
Inshallah.
Yes.
Okay, so here we have the word Akbar, which
say
means
again.
Greater.
Say
Akbar.
Akbar.
You got to rest on the K.
Not Akbar.
Ak. Ak. That's right. And you hear Akbar a lot of times, right?
Yeah.
It's Akbar.
Akbar.
Which means greater or bigger.
Mm.
It's a comparative form. This is a pattern for comparatives.
Mm.
And then we have Takbir, right?
Takbir.
A lot of people say, Tabir, you hear him hollering real loud.
Yeah.
Tabir. No, it's tak.
Tak.
Beer.
Tak.
That's right. Tak beer. So you have to understand the verbal forms and get some insight into the meanings. This happens to be the second form noun, real quickly. The second form noun.
And excuse me. There's a car, Malibu, parked out front with Michigan plates.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. They're asking for that person to come get their car.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Could someone move that up for me a little bit there?
Hmm? Anybody interested in moving that for? Is that a press with down arrow? Keep this cell phone on the line. Keep the window open.
Okay, well, I got some other things I can talk about, but they got the sheet. We'll just leave it right there for now.
Mm-hmm.
Until you come back.
You know, okay.
Yeah, right.
Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, so the second form has something to do with something that happens over and over and over again in a very, very intense way. I answer the question after we conclude.
No.
In a very, very intense way. That's what the second form has the idea of. Something that happens over and over again in a very intense and quality way. So we know when Imam Muhammad came in, what did he tell us? We're going to start having Ta'alim.
Yes.
Ta'alim. And Ta'alim is the second form noun also.
Oh,
Ta'alim, dealing with Alimat. Alimat means to know. So what is education? An ongoing process that happens over and over again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Then we have the word Tanzil. That's again the second form. Nezalat means to send down rain. And we know rain is coming, you know, for millions of years, right? And it was really a funny thing we used to say during the first. Say, yeah, ever since Allah created water, not a drop been lost. We thought that was great, you know. But we didn't know the process, you know. Yeah, so the idea of revelation tied in with rain, it's coming over and over again repeatedly.
Yeah, yeah.
Even now, although
yeah.
The prophet came with the Quran, and they have many people who have done tafsir, but there's more tafsir, more understanding of this Quran to be had.
Mm.
So you should know, and I should know too, as Allah has revealed. Allama al-Quran. He teaches the Quran, and not only does he teach it, He teaches it over and over again. Alema is the second form, emphatic verb. Meaning that this teaching that Allah is talking about is ongoing, it's perfect to the ends of time. Okay, praise be to Allah. So let's go to the next thing I want to mention here. I have an ayah here, and I have some words here after that. As you can see, we're on now. El Mutakabir. That's one of the attributes of Allah, right?
Yeah.
One of the 100 or 99, right?
Yeah.
But anybody that studied the Quran knows there's more than 99 names plus Allah.
Yes.
He said he's the Lord of taqwa and piety. He's others too. I don't want to push my mind to remember now. But there's more than 99 attributes of Allah right in the Quran itself.
Mm.
And so I don't know how you come or where they got that from about 99 and 100, but you can see the Quran and see clearly for yourself there's more than 99. So let us move on. So El Mutakabbir means the one that all greatness reflects back to and originates from. El Mutakabbir. And then, to give you an understanding, Allah Himself is using these grammatical verb forms to express ideas. He puts that name in the fifth form. And the fifth form means something that reflects back on the self. So anything you do that's great, I'm the man, I'm the being, probably, that allowed you to have the greatness, gave you the tools and whatever to display greatness.
When you say fifth form reflects back on itself.
That's right. I have a sheet on that we're going to talk about that more.
Yeah.
So kabir means great. And then we have the word mustakbirun. You got the sheet that everybody has a handout here. Mustakbirun. Mustakbirun is relating to kabara. So by you having an S and a T before that K, I repeat, if you have an S and a T before that K, kabara, we know that that is the tenth form of the verb.
Mm.
And the tenth form of the verb and the noun suggests something, someone imagining something, someone, in some cases, receiving something. In some cases, reflexiveness occurs, but in also requesting, receiving, and requesting, as I mentioned. So mustakbirun is a group of people who imagine themselves to be great, but they have no greatness. So Ali translates them as the arrogant ones. The ones who walk around, I'm bad.
Imagine
himself.
Yeah.
I guess Trump would be a good.
That's shaitan, though, right? That's shaitan.
That's shaitan, that's right. You got it. So here's one of the beautiful ayahs of the Quran. I'd just like to change the flow a little bit.
But wait, look, one second. Is anybody here that have an expedition parked out front in the fire lane?
Okay, so the ayah is وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And for those of you who can't read it, I got some real nice transliteration for you to follow it, right? So you can follow that transliteration as though you're reading English, and you should be able to recite that ayah perfectly. وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And to him is the greatness in the heavens and the earth. And he is the all-powerful, the wise. So that's just confirming what I just said to you, that any greatness that occurs in the seven heavens, it comes from Allah. Kibriyahu is the form that it's talking about. Okay, go up to the next one now, Linda. You're right on time. Go ahead, all the way up to the next page. Okay. Okay, so here, go down a little bit. Go down. Go back a little bit. Okay, right here is good. Okay, kataba. K-A-T-A, then ba. Kataba. Kataba means he wrote. It's a sentence. You can write every sentence by having just one word. Isn't that beautiful? That's a complete sentence. He wrote. You don't know what he wrote, but he wrote. It was some action that occurred, and you had a subject that did it. Okay. So again, related things come in word families. That's the key to understanding the Arabic language. If you get a bunch of verbs like this and you know what they mean, you can make the rest of the words if you know the forms of the verbs. Okay. So you'll see as I go. Okay, go up. Cat That Back, me and She Wrote. I didn't want to be unfair to the women. We had Cat That Back there, too. Put the T on the end, now it's a She Wrote. Cat That Back. And here we got the word office. Mactab. Mactab. Office. And here we have Mactabatun, right here. Mactabatun, which is the library. So you can see the logic of that. Cat That Back means to write. Writings are in the library, right?
Yeah.
And then the mean factor, the M-A on the beginning, means it's a noun, a place. Sajadah means what? He prostrated, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we put an M-A on the front. That's the place where we prostrate, the master.
Yeah.
But the whole earth is the master. The whole universe is the master, too, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you see the connections there? So here we got the word typewriter. Typewriter. Okay, typewriter is right here. Mictabun. See that M-E right there? That's an M and that's an E. So the M-E on the front of a word means an instrument or something that you use. Something that you use. So they already had the word for the typewriter ready before it was even invented. It was ready. So when whoever did it came up, we got to call it Mictab. Typewriter. A writing machine, an instrument. Thakala means to weigh something. Thakala. Mithkal is the scales, right?
Yeah.
Faktiha means to open something.
Yeah.
Mithtahu is the key, you see?
Yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah.
by having an M-E, if you understand an M-E on the front of a word, it has something to do with an instrument, you're halfway there. And now you got to go to the dictionary and look up the K, the T, and the B, and you'll know right away
what it's
talking about. It's consistent. The mean kasra in front of the first letter of the verb. It's always consistent. Okay. So, getting a little funny here now. This is Jack Sprat, and that's his wife. And here's the song. Jack Sprat could eat no fat, and his wife could eat no lean. Raise it up, Linda. But together, they licked the platter clean. Okay. So by eliminating the fat letters from the added letters, as I mentioned to you a moment ago, how we put the meme in front of that to give it a noun of place, and then we put the meme in front of it to give it an instrument, something that you use. So when we pull out all of the fat and we get the steak letters, that's when you can go to the dictionary. So that's what you want to be able to do. You have to look at a word and say, what is the root of it? And once you find that, you look at all of the ayahs in the Quran where it's appearing, and you go to lexicons and dictionary to get more insight. Okay, move on here. Okay, so right here, this is key. Go down a little bit. Okay, we start right here. This is good. Here we have a word that's coined, and it's li yetasammanu. Li yetasammanu. So here are the letters. You got a Y, a T, a S, a M, a N, a W, and an Aleph. This is very beautiful. I can tell you, a friend of mine named Roland, he used to teach me Arabic when I was beginning to learn in the late 70s, right? And I would go, and he would teach me the alphabet, and I understood what he was giving me, but I didn't study enough. And I just come every Saturday, and I didn't really study. But when he gave me this word, yetasammanu, he got it from Shahid Bashir. Some of us know Shahid Bashir. That's what lit me up and said, hey, this language is easy, it's structured, so I'm going to learn this. And I was motivated then, and I'm still motivated now because of the wonderful structure of the language. So I hope I can impart what this is about to you before we leave today. So understand that these letters are the letters that we mix. I repeat, these are the letters that we mix in between the steak letters to get different shades of meaning. It'll come clear, inshallah. So what I'm saying to you is, I'm going to give you some examples in a minute. These letters here, we just put them in here or put them there to give different meaning. We mentioned the word Akbar, right?
Yeah.
We had a K, a B, and an R, right?
Yeah.
And we put that Aleph in front of it, it becomes greater. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
We gave you a takbir. The T in the front,
yeah,
that's fat. The K is steak. The B is steak. But the yeah, that that was after the B, that's fact. So you got to take that out to get to the dictionary. And then the Ra. So you take the Ta out and you take the Ra out, and now you have the state.
Yeah.
So let's move up a little bit more. It'll come through. I got some examples.
So what was that word you said? How you say it again?
Li yet the semenu. It means let them grow fat. Let them increase themselves. Let them augment themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So whoever designed this language, structured this language in such a way, well, we're going to determine, there's a lot of me inspired me to do it, that these are the letters, we're going to mix in between the root letters to give new meaning and different understanding.
Swim ain't got nothing to do with that word.
No. Letters of increase to the various root verbs like katabat. This word literally means they are increasing, augmenting, or fattening themselves. Go up. The Li prefacing this word is called the Li of command. It means let these letters do their work. Add fat and add meaning to these actions that we're talking about. And they do it too, praise be to Allah.
Yes.
So here we have Wakalimatullah Hiyal Ulya Wallahu Azizun Hakim. And the words of Allah are exalted to the heights, and He is the mighty, the wise. So keep these letters in mind. Ya, ta, sa, mean, seen, mean, noon, wow, and out. Okay, go ahead. Well, okay. So here's the word I mentioned, takbir, right? See that tie right there? I got it nice and big, right? That's the T with the two dots. That's the K. That's the first steak letter. That's the meat. That's the meat that the man was eating, and that's the fat that the woman was eating on that picture. Okay? And then we got the ba right here with the kasra, so that's B. And then we got a ya. That ya right there, that's one of the letters that increase, right? So we have to eliminate this fat right here.
Oh.
Eliminate that fat right there. And what do we have left? K, B, and R.
Yeah.
You see?
K, B, and R. Kabir.
That's right. It's great. But yeah. Takbir would suggest that you see something that happened and it's a state of, oh, that's great. And so that's why we say Takbir. We say Allahu Akbar. We don't want to get immersed in, you know, worshiping Michael Jordan, but he can slam dunk or Mayweather, because he, you know, can use his hands. You know, Allah is greater. Allah gave him the ability, right?
Yes.
So that's why we say takbir over and over again.
Yeah.
Okay. Move on. So that's one of the examples there. Okay. And now let me mention this. Allahu Akbar, right? We just used to say Allahu Akbar, right? Allahu Akbaru min kulli shay. Allah is greater than everything. This is the part that is added and implied, but we don't always say it.
Mm-hmm.
But it means Allahu Akbaru, Allah is greater than what? The man said anything you can imagine or do, right? Allah is greater than that. Okay, so again, these are the letters. Yatasammanu. Yatasim, Mim, Nun, Waw, and Allah.
All that come out of there.
No, that's different. Licking the powder clean, to me, means arriving at the point where you can get to the dictionary and look up words to recognize what form Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is utilizing and why, if you can discern it, why He's using this form or that form. I'll give you an example in a moment. Increase your vocabulary. Track words in the Quran, as I mentioned earlier, and Allah's uses of those words. So here's a beautiful ayah in the Quran. It begins with tabaraka. Ta. Barakah. So y'all can hear barakah in their lessons, right? Barakah, right? Well, Allah, He didn't say barakah. He said tabarakah. That's powerful. That's very powerful. By Him putting just that one T right there, let you know that Allah is telling you and I clearly, the blessings come, and He also snatches them back.
Oh, wow.
He also snatches them back. Come back to the time means you. I own these blessings, I give them out, so I take them back. Depending on how well you follow the Furqan. Tabaraka allazi nazala furqana ala abdihi liyakuna lil'alamina nadhira. So I would say, blessed is he who owns all the blessings and gives them out, and he takes them back, depending on how well we follow the what? The Furqan. And what's the Furqan?
Yes.
The do and don't list.
Yes, that's right.
That he sent to his op. So if you look at all those Yusuf Ali translation and Muhammad Assad, and I've looked at all of them, and none of them translated what that tag means in the front. So just by you knowing that that tag has something to do with reciprocity, it should click in your mind right away. Allah is telling me these blessings are coming, but He also going to take them back. We have a Tarah Salah. Rasul means messenger, right?
Yeah.
Ra Salah means He sent a letter. Ra Salah, He sent a letter. I put the T on the front. Now it means He sent a letter, but a letter came back.
Reciprocity is in that.
There you go. So that's correspondence now. Tarah Salah. So there's correspondence on these blessings with Allah for sure. When you go off and do something crazy, He's subject to take them back. He may give us mercy. We don't know. But just by knowing that one thing about that tab being the sixth form of the verb, all of that comes into your mind and you're more conscious of not wanting the blessings to come and then be snatched back. Okay, let's go up there. 60 basic noun verb patterns. Examples. Islam. Okay, so when the professor taught us at the school, in the college, these verb patterns and whatnot, I took it upon myself, and many of us took it upon ourselves, to put all of these words that we already knew on the pattern of the 60 words. There's only 60 word patterns that's basic to the Arabic language. When you understand these patterns, you're going to get some insight. So Islam is the fourth form noun. So I can sit here and tell you very confidently, Islam means something that you can be in a state of forever getting better and better at. The fourth form has something to do with the state of becoming and getting better at something. And also called causation by Allah Himself. Allah is the one that causes us to submit. Causation, Islam, fourth form. So usually when Allah is talking about what He does directly in the Quran, He puts it in the fourth form. He says, see how I put you put the seed in the ground? Who causes it to grow? He uses the fourth form for
that's
that.
That's causation, fourth form.
That's right.
What did you say?
Okay, so ikhlas. We'll talk about it in a moment. So ikhlas. We know that's the surah to ikhlas, the surah 112, right?
Yeah.
So ikhlas is also a fourth form noun. So this means something that can get purified. So this purification that we're talking about trying to get, it's ongoing throughout our lives. It's moving. It has dynamism to it. It's sand. That's goodness. You can do goodness over and over again, get better and better at doing good and doing good deeds. Fourth form noun. Okay? Here we got Muslim, right?
Yeah.
Muslim. What is Muslim? It's the fourth form too.
Okay.
And it's the active participle. Okay. Now, I didn't know English grammar that much myself.
Yeah, it's doing
so. But when I started learning Arabic, the professor knew English better than we knew it. He knew the British English, right?
Yes.
So active participle is this. Talk is the verb, right? So talker is the active participle, plain and simple. Walk is the verb. Walker is the active participant in the action of walking. Sing is the verb. Singer is the active participant, right? So Muslim is an active participant in what? Submitting to Allah. And as a consequence of that submission, peace and safety comes to some degree, right?
Yeah.
So Brother Jack, Brother Bashir, Shaheed Bashir, some of the people here know him, he was doing Ta'aleem right after Imam Muhammad became the leader, right? I always tell this story. And he said, technically, brothers and sisters, when you do something wrong, you're not a Muslim. He said, technically, right? So a brother, I'm not going to mention his name, came to him and said, I don't know what you're talking about, Brother Jack. I might do something wrong here and there, but I'm still a Muslim. He was just trying to tell him that technically you're not, because it's an active thing. It's not, passive. It's active.
Uh-huh.
So if you have it in your mind that anytime you go off, you're not a Muslim, won't that help you to be a Muslim?
Right,
if you're conscious of the meaning of it?
Yes, brother.
Come to be like Muslim. Then we have the word mukmin, coming from the same fourth form active participle structure. Mukmin, believer, right?
Believer.
Muhsin, good doer. Excellent doer, they translated as, right? So if you know these word patterns that we're talking about, you better get some insight into these words. Okay, move on. Fourth form active participle is that we were talking about a few moments ago. And now we got the second form passive participle. And included in the second form passive participle is who? Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
Muallam.
Muallam.
I didn't say Muallam. Muallam is the teacher.
Yeah.
But Muallam is somebody that's been taught.
Oh, this is
somebody, wait a minute. Somebody has been taught. Muallam. So I said Muallam, it would be a teacher.
Yeah.
But Muallam is the worst being that's being taught. So they accused Prophet Muhammad, said, "You are Muallam Majnoon. You've been taught some stuff that's messed up, and you crazy too." Muallam Majnoon, this is in the Quran, you know.
Yes.
You went over there to Syria on your travels and whatnot, and they gave you some crazy stuff over there, and you come back there with this stuff, and you crazy.
Wow.
They call it Muallam Majnoon, and Majnoon means crazy, or filled with jinn spirits, right? So that's a very terrible accusation. Like, you've been taught by some jinn. That's what they're telling them.
They're twisting language.
So many, no, this is in the Quran. Allah's telling us what they call the prophet.
Uh-oh.
So you Muallam Majnoon. Here we have the month Muharram, right?
Yeah.
Muharram. The forbidden month. That which is forbidden for you to deviate and do wrong and do something fighting and all that kind of stuff. Muharram. Okay. So let me try to move a little quicker here. So I want to mention the word Muhammad very beautifully. To me, I think it's so powerful if you could appreciate it. Muhammad means that entity that high accolades and commendation and kudos and emulation came upon. Why did it come upon him? Because of the way he led his life, right? He didn't say, "Y'all better praise me, I'm the messenger of Allah. Y'all praise me." He didn't do that. He was passive. He wasn't actively soliciting leadership and followership. So his name is a sign of what he was about. He was not one who was trying to heap praise upon himself. The people heaped the praise upon himself, on him. The people did this. So say, for example, if a million years go by and we still have the Arabic language and people know that Muhammad is that passive participle, they'll know from his name that it's a safeguard, that he was not one that told the people to worship him or praise him. He said, "Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen." So he was not an active participant in people praising him. He was passive. So his name is suggesting protection on him. I didn't tell nobody to worship me and praise me. I was passive in the situation.
Yeah.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. Okay. So let's move on. I mentioned Muallim. That's the teacher, I said. Muallim, right?
Yes.
Mujaddid. This is the name that we call our Imam Warfi Muhammad. Mujaddid, right?
Yes.
Mujaddid is the second form, active participle. Mujaddid, one who renews something over and over and over again. That's why they call it revival every 100 years, right?
Yes.
It happens
yes.
over and over again. Second form. Remember we said the second form has something to do with something happening redundantly and over and over again.
Yes.
And then we got Mufassir. Mufassir is one who what? Explains the Quran.
Yes.
Explains it well, intensely, and
like
good.
Commentary.
Ongoing.
Yeah, ongoing.
Alhamdulillah. Let's move on, inshallah. So here we have Ta'lim, as I mentioned earlier. Tanzil, Takbir, and Tafsir. Second form now. Let's move on. You had the handout, so inshallah you'll be able to review it. Now I mentioned this ayah right here. Allama al-Qur'an. Allama is the second form verb, meaning intensely in perfect tense. Allah teaches this over and over again. So you notice I have here in the translation, he taught slash teaches. If you look at Abdul Salih's translation, he just said he taught the Qur'an like he did it in the past. Do you see what I'm saying? But we know that the perfect form means now and ongoing. Present, continuous. That's what the Arabic verb means in the perfect tense. Now here we got the basic 10 forms chart. This is the one that's very key. You can raise up a little more. And I'm not going to go over it because I went over some of the words now. But here's what you want to know is that each form has some meaning. Form one means a statement of fact. Oh, he declares something. So in other words, when Allah wants to go right to the point, he says, "Katabat Rabbukum ala nafsihi rahmatah." You all's Lord wrote on himself the rule of mercy. Go right to the point by using katabat in the first form. So it declares a fact. That's what you want to know about the first form. Second form we mentioned too, repetition over a long period of time. Move up some if you would. And we didn't mention the third form. I'll give you an example of the third form real quickly. Katala means he killed. Ka, take a little more time to say it. Katala means he was fighting. So you ain't just going to go up and kill me. He going to have to fight me. So Katala, you're going to take some time. You want to try to kill me. So the third form means there's some action coming against you. You trying to fight me. Katala. Jahada means to strive in particular endeavor. Jahada means to strive. But you're striving against something. We're striving against Satan. We're striving against our own nest, right? So some reciprocity happening there. There's a force that's dealing with that. Okay, and we mentioned the fourth one. Go some more. State of becoming, causation. I mentioned dynamism, sometimes caused by Allah. Then we have the reflexive, the fifth one. We mentioned that too. And I'll mention the ayah that deals with the fifth form. There has an ayah in the Quran where Allah says that if the prophet would have said something from himself and put it on us, Allah says in the Surah 69, we would have seized him by the right hand and then, in other words, stopped him from doing it.
Yes.
And then cut off the audio of his heart. We would have killed him. That's what Allah says that he would have done. And he puts the kawala, kawala means he said, the kawala means to say something from himself. And put it on somebody else that's there. But Allah lets you know, the prophet's not going to do that. But he puts the hypothetical lie in front of it, just for your mind to think that he might, you know, have a little slippage. But Allah for knew that Muhammad was not going to falsify nothing that he came with. But just for our minds, he's telling you what he would have done. Stop him from doing it first and then kill him. So kawala in the fifth form. Okay, let's move on. So all of these forms have meaning. I don't know how much time I got, but I'm trying to rush it real quick here. The sixth form means, as I mentioned, mutuality and whatnot, tabaraka. We mentioned tafa'ala, tabaraka. Then we have this seventh form, infa'ala. Right here, infa'ala. To allow something to be done to the self. That's infa'ala, the second form. What does that mean? Allah mentions in the Surah 55 how Inshaka, the moon will split. The moon is going to submit to the splitting, but it's already been made to split at a particular time. So the nature of this occurrence is not going to happen outside of the moon, but within the moon itself, it's going to happen. So that's what the seventh form will be, something that you allow to do to yourself. Like we say, Subhana ladhi safa lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqminin inna ila rabbina la munqalibun. Munkali boom. Surely to our Lord we are returning. Why are we returning? Because for every soul there's death. We are returning right now. We don't know where we're going to return, but Allah is letting you know and letting us know by putting it in the seventh form, Munkali boom, that this return that y'all got is part of what I created you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then we had the eighth form, internal operation, doing something to the self. Again, internal operations. And we'll mention the ninth form has something to do with characteristics and defects. Okay, now, the pride of the desert, the Arabian horse. Okay, scroll up a little bit. I'll give you a little picture trying to make it a little interesting. Very powerful ayah here. Surah, I should say. Waladiyati dabaha, famuriyati kadha. I won't even read all of it. But here Allah is telling you and I that he swears by the horses that run with the panting breath. And you remember how he told us years ago, he said, the horse, if you beat him, he will run himself to death. I didn't know that about a horse. You keep hitting him, he'll run himself to death. And the man went on to tell us about, why do you think they call it, when you make an engine, they say 20 horsepower or 50 horsepower.
Whoa.
So if you run it over that amount, it's going to kill over. So Allah's telling you and I about this horse. He says, and he strikes sparks of fire. Nighttime battle, going into battle. You know he's coming, you look and see all these sparks coming up in the dark. He's fearless, he's still coming. Then when the daytime comes, the dust be coming up. He raised the dust. And you see him in the daytime too.
Mm.
And then he says when he get into the midst of the foe, and they penetrate forthwith in the midst of the foe. You know, the master on there with the guns and the swords and all of that, horses. At attention. He ain't going to buck him off or anything like that. Got 4 minutes to go. Okay. Somebody left. And then Allah changes the tenor of the surah. It's an inna rabbi hum lak from where is it at? Inna al-insana li rabbihi lakanud. Surely the human being is ungrateful to his Lord. So here Allah is telling you and I clearly, I gave y'all a horse that'll give his life to you 100%. Why don't you give 100% to me? This is the message Allah's given us. We know we're not going to be perfect, but at least the idea of wanting to be a servant to Allah is what we should be about. And then he goes on to say, وَإِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ لَا شَهِيدٌ. And surely he, by what he does, he's a witness that he's ungrateful. And here, this, see that L right there? L-A? The word is kanud means ungrateful. But Allah didn't say that's ungrateful. He put an L there. You're extremely ungrateful. But you don't get that in the English translation. Lakanu, the lad is not needed. But Allah puts it in there to get you to think about it. Then he puts it over here. La Shaheed. Surely you are a witness to the fact that you're ungrateful about what you do. He's clearly telling us that. He says, Wa innahu li hukbil khayri la shadeed. Here's the lie again. Surely, in respect to the love of higher good, you are strong. You want good. Give me good, Allah. Give me good, Allah. Man came to probably say his clothes was haram, his speech was haram, and he wondered why Allah wasn't blessing him, you know? And then Allah said, okay. Afala ya'lamu idha buthira ma fi al-qubur. You can go up. Does he not know that when the graves are opened up, that everything he did was already clocked and recorded by Allah? So Allah is trying to beckon us, I believe, to the idea of being more grateful and more obedient. Okay, so I'm trying to show you that to let you know that there's some coherency to the Quran. Talking about horses, then all of a sudden he changes, talking about human beings. You got to be able to tie these in. The coherence of the Quran. I read a book called Coherence of the Quran by Mustan Samir. He was a professor at the Youngstown State years ago. And ever since I read that book, it was beneficial in my approach to studying the Quran. Coherence of the Quran, the book is called. So I say, do horses give 100% to their masters? And you know that surah is 100. That surah that we just recited is surah 100. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's surah 100. 100%.
No,
so y'all know him, right?
Yeah.
What is he called in Arabic?
Camel.
Camel in English, but Jamal.
Jamal.
Jamal. In Arabic. And Jamal means what?
Handsome
and beautiful. Does he look handsome and beautiful? but he's beautiful for what he does. He finds that water when you need it on the desert. You know, you can get his milk from him. You can get the fur from him. It takes you from point A to point B. All of this, you know. Okay. So Jamila is the feminine. I didn't want to leave the women out. Jamila, Jamal.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Here's the ostrich. And here's the Arabic word for ostrich right here. One of them. Dhalin. Some of you know Arabic. What is the root of Dhalin?
Dhal.
Dhalama, right?
Yeah,
what does Dhalama mean?
Yeah,
darkness, right? Okay. To oppress something, to wrong something. To put something in the dark, put it in the wrong place. So this is what the ostrich does. He put his eggs in the wrong place on the desert, and the hawks come down and get him. He puts his head down low and likes to, you know, eat bugs and stuff. But he can eat leaves from the trees. This is a metaphor of the human being. We like to be in darkness and whatnot instead of eating the leaves of knowledge and whatnot, you know. Dhalin, that's what he's called in the Arabic language. So I like to joke around and say, yeah, they might have been walking around the desert one time. They knew what darkness was, and they saw him and put his head in the dirt. Said, that's Dhalin. That's Dhalin right there. Okay, let's go up here. Okay. Okay. So let me just mention this. Go ahead some more. So what is the matter with them that they turn away from this reminder like they are affrighted donkeys? Abdullah Yusuf Ali, if you read that particular ayah, he says asses. Affrighted asses. So here's Allah talking about people who run away from this Quran. What is wrong with y'all? Y'all run away from this light, you know? Like you running, like donkeys running from a lion. So I said to myself, yeah, you can kind of see how a disbeliever would do that. But should the Muslim be running from the Arabic Quran?
Yeah.
Every Muslim should be a student of the Quran. Y'all know I've been doing this for 40 years. I want to get this to y'all so y'all can take it further and come back and give me some light. Everybody should have some knowledge of this Quran. If you're an engineer, if you're this, you're that, you should be able to make contact with this book yourself and understand it. It's a strange phenomenon. I think a lot of that, I don't have that, but there's a lot of us who don't have a interest in it. Many times they think it's difficult, but I know how to make it easy. I've been doing it too long, not to. People teach you how to teach them. Okay, go ahead, move on. So I got a picture of a lion and some duckies. Not the best picture. I kind of blew that one up. But they say that when duckies are in fright, they be howling all kind of strange noises, real repulsive to the spirit. So here Allah is using what he knows about his creatures to try to give a message to the human being that y'all are running like a bunch of donkeys. Lions coming after you. And here you shouldn't be running. You should be coming to this light. Okay, go ahead. I think I'm just about finished. So here's the Quran. Here, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ عَظِيمٍ. Imam Muhammad said, you are the crown of the creation. That's the term we use, right? Talking about Muhammad. I like to say, surely, surely, Muhammad is our, you are an exalted, magnificent creation. I like the word magnificent. Adeem, I like magnificent. I like to use that. Okay, so here you see that Allah is assuring Muhammad that you are a magnificent creation. You have morals, you have virtue, you have honor. Move on. I'm talking about comprehension of the Quran. Go down a little bit. Go back. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Getting a little quick here. Okay. So in this surah, real quickly, there's coherency. Allah talks about Muhammad having excellent character.
Yes.
And then in 68:13, he's talking about one who is the extreme of that. And now go up now. He says some people are like zanims. They're useless to the social order. Do we have people like that? That's useless to the social order. Zanim, useless to the life of the goat. See those little protrusions coming down there?
Yes.
It's like earrings, right?
Yes.
Scientists say that from what they know, they have no use for the life of the goat. So Allah is characterizing some human beings that he has created as useless as the wattles on the goat. The word is used is Zanim, 68:13. So I just find it beautiful that Allah would take animals from us, watching them and looking at them, to give us some reminders of how we should not be and reminders of how we should be. Zanim, look it up. Okay, so pushing my book real quick. I can conclude right here. On the back of the sheet there, I'm telling you what Imam Muhammad said about the book and what a Sheikh Ali out of Canton said about the book. I don't mind getting paid. But if I had a lot of money, I wouldn't even ask to get paid. I'd give it away free, but I can't do that. So this is what the book is about, explaining the language. And y'all probably know the imam called me a scholar. I was shocked. I was sitting right there, and privy to Allah, Wallace was the one that got the book to his father, and he had some security people trying to stop me from getting the book to the imam.
Wow.
But I gave it to Wallace. And Wallace walked on up there and gave him the book, and some of the security guys looking like, what you doing? And Wallace was like, hey, I can go see my dad when I want to. That's what he did that day. But I saw him getting emotional, just trying to stop me. I knew that already. So I said, I'm going to get Wallace to do it. And he did. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Go up. I heard. Go ahead. I mean, that's it.
No,
let me get the last ayah, Nicole. The last ayah, and I'm through. The last ayah appears down there. Go up a little more. Yeah, the last ayah is on the front of the book. I love this ayah. Kaja'akum min Allahi nurun wa kitabun mubin. No doubt from Allah has come to you all a light and a plain book. So he's telling us that this book is for everybody, not just for the Muslim, but for everybody. He gives it a light for you to understand it, and it's plain too. Do we believe it? Okay, so I thank you very much. I hope I didn't go too far over. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Thank you.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication that has been produced, and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it'll serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatutenzin, the language of translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know of him. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in the separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and I'm grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jahad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jahad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjihad.com. That's SIDDEQ jihad.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, Redford, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's SIDDEQ, at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.